Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus another clap of praise. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. We continue with our discussion on Jubilee. And now we're on what I have referred to as New Testament Jubilee. We're looking at the concept of Jubilee. Under the new covenant. Remember we said that the old covenant was given us a shadow of the reality to come. This is the age of that reality. We are in that reality. The Bible said God gave them that covenant, but God knew that for that. Hallelujah. God gave it to them, but God knew that it was not to them. But he gave it to them as a thing to give them stern discipline. The kind of discipline that was not good. Hallelujah. And he made it so cumbersome. So many laws and regulations with prescriptions of punishment and punishment and punishment. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus Christ. He set us free. Last week, we looked at a number of things and we ended up with a consideration of what spiritual bondage really is like. And we said that spiritual bondage is worse than physical bondage. Physical bondage puts the flesh under discomfort, pain, agony. But spiritual bondage, while it may not necessarily manifest in terms of you being bound physically or being pushed to a farm to walk without fear, is worse than physical bondage. Jesus would have us go through physical torture so long as our spirit was not broken. Are you with me? And I talked about prisoners who would say, I thank God that I am here now. Are you with me? And they will give a reason. It was in the prison ministry that I first realized an opponent could be thanking God for being in prison. I didn't know that I could live without fornication. But since I have been locked up here, there is no woman. And I discovered that I can live without it. I thought that I couldn't do without smoking marijuana. But since I have been locked up here, there is nothing to smoke. And I discovered I am surviving without it. I don't have to use it. Glory to God. So a man is locked up, but his spirit is set free. And he rejoices in that. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So having considered those basic things about spiritual bondage, we came to look at Lucifer himself in Isaiah 14. And what we pick out of there, you can start from verse 10 and begin to read to 17. We don't have to read it again this morning. We read it last week. Let me just continue. And what we got in that was that here was Lucifer, the one who puts in spiritual bondage. And the word of God declared, this is the one who, when he puts in bondage, will never release a prisoner. Never release a prisoner. It is not in his protocol to say, Your time of bondage is over. Now go home. No jubilee in the kingdom of darkness. No jubilee. I will say that the only way to get somebody out from Lucifer's bondage, from the bondage of the devil, from the kingdom of darkness, is to devastate the kingdom with the light. Are you with me? You use light to scatter darkness. And we said that in Egypt, where Israel was held in bondage, the only thing that got them out of there was the awesome power of the Most High God, the God who himself is the light. Moses did not mix words. When God first called him to go to Egypt and take the slaves out, he told God, who is the mortal man that can get them out of there? Are you with me? He told God, what do you think that Egypt is? God, I lived there for 40 years before I fled to this place. I grew up in the Pharaoh's palace. And you know that Israel, all of this is not written there, but where you are living, you have to get some illustrations from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I grew up in that palace. I know what is in that palace. You think that Israel is held in bondage by muscles only? Don't you know the divinations in Egypt? The magic of Dennis and Jambres? Are you following me? They were not there by physical bondage. They knew that they were bound by spiritual bondage too. By reason of all of the black magic in the land of Egypt with the Pharaoh had, all the divinations. He knew. The Bible said to us eventually, Moses grew up there and knew the operational magic there. Amen? Yeah, he knew it. You now send me like this, a shepherd with a staff. Go and take the people out. What do you think you're talking about? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God has to show you. You saw power in Egypt. Now begin to see power here. Nobody goes to war on his own account. When God sends you out, he is with you. He did not want to go. He gave one excuse after another. He couldn't still imagine it. What is that in your hand? It's my staff. Cast it down. He cast it down. He turned into a serpent. He fled. God said, come back. Pick it up again. He picked it up again. He turned back into the staff. Then he remembered, oh, what they do it in Egypt? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Finally, okay, Lord, go and speak with Pharaoh. I must stammer. I stutter in my speech. I can't talk. God said, okay, who made your mouth? I will be with your mouth. Praise the Lord. May the Lord be with your mouth.
Amen.
If the Lord is not with your mouth, you are going to finish yourself with your own mouth. Keep a watch at the door of my mouth. You need it. I need it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When he gave that excuse, God did not say, henceforth, your speech will be soft. God said, okay, Aaron, the Levite, is he not your brother? Yeah, he's coming. When he sees you, he will be very happy. He will go with you. You will talk to him. What you say, he will tell the Pharaoh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In other words, no matter how much you stammer, no matter how much you stutter, because Aaron, your brother, grew up with you, he will understand what you are saying. Are you with me? He will understand. The whole world will not understand. Aaron, who grew up with you, will understand. Talk to him. Let him talk to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you realize that after Egypt, Moses was talking coherently? The people were understanding him. the whole of the book of Deuteronomy, it was just Moses talking. Aaron was not interpreting. Are you following me? So when the hand of the Lord comes upon you, you become another man. How many of you ever knew that Benny Hinn was a terrible stutterer, stammerer, like Moses was? When Benny Hinn was in school, he couldn't say one sentence. You have seen some people before. Benny Hinn said, any time that the teacher asked him a question and he wanted to answer, as soon as he wanted to open his mouth, all of the students will be laughing. They will be laughing. Go and hear Benny Hinn talk today. The anointing breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. God is awesome. When they were entering Egypt, God now said to Moses, your fathers knew me by my name, Almighty God, El Shaddai, which basically is the one who supplies all needs. Are you with me? He said they did not know me by my name, Jehovah, the Deliverer. Praise the Lord. So you are going into Egypt. You will know me as Jehovah, which your fathers did not know me by. You will see my ability to deliver. Not only supply needs, but also deliver from bondage. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said to him, now, I have made you a god to Aaron. And I have made Aaron your brother, your prophet. So Aaron did not realize that when Moses stood before him, that was a god standing. Tell the person sitting to your right, you are a god. Turn to the left, you are a God. Turn to the right, you are a child of God. Turn back to the left, you are a child of God. Turn back to the right, that makes you a God. Back to the left, that makes you a God. Don't diminish yourself. You are whatever God says you are. Hallelujah. It is not anything called pride for a child of God to say, listen, believe it or not, I am a God. It is God who says so. That is the truth. The truth is the word of God, what God says. And that is why when you stand to speak in authority, are you following me now? Don't feel little before demons. You stand strong, even if you are this short. When you stand spiritually, you stand strong. Are you with me now?
Yes.
And you speak with authority. By all of it, I will be, because I'm a child of God. Thank God for deliverance. Because Egypt will never forget. After God was through with Egypt, you will agree with me, it was complete devastation. You have to devastate the kingdom of the devil to set the prisoners loose. Like I said last week, God said, Moses, don't worry. We're just playing a game now. When it is time for you to go, they will be happy that you left. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We're going to look at Jesus setting us free. Remember that Egypt was a shadow. Everything under God's covenant now, even the deliverance in Egypt, which was a good example, was still a shadow of the better deliverance to come. Hallelujah. They went from Egypt to the land of Canaan, their land of promise, flowing with milk and honey. Our own deliverance takes us to New Jerusalem. Are you following me now? Not the land of Canaan, but New Jerusalem. Streets of gold, mansions. When we get there, we'll see wonders. So you cannot imagine what you do not really know. You can't describe what you don't know. Someday, someday. That is our land of promise. It's not Canaan. It's heaven. Hallelujah. That's my grandfather. Yeah. So now today, we start by looking at the ultimate purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ultimate purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we looked at some statements that were made in respect of John the Baptist. You remember? You remember? Nobody is answering. Talking about the ministry of Jesus. You remember? Okay. So let us look at Jesus himself, talking about himself. Something that we all know about it. John 3:16. Somebody who is not a Bible scholar, just tell us. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That will be the ultimate purpose of the coming of Jesus. It is so that we will come from death into everlasting life. Anything short of that is not good. Hallelujah. The devil is out there. He doesn't want to see you saved. The battle is on. Like Dr. Lubani said some time ago, which some ministers say in error, we are not fighting anymore. We are fighting. Everybody say again, we are fighting. We are fighting. We are fighting. It is just that we are not fighting against the Philistines. We are fighting against spirits. Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, we went out to one of our villages in the mission field. You remember how we saw the man who came for treatment from the village? You remember? Okay. He's very well now. Glory to God. Give Jesus a clap for him. He's very well now. So happy. At the time he was coming, he was so happy. He was saying, everybody will now see the difference between Christianity and Islam. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
When my daughter will get married, I will give her to a Christian. I said, what if she doesn't want to go to the Christian? He said, Kimmy, give me my cup of coffee. You know what they do later? What argument? I will just give her to a man. That is what they do now. Praise the Lord. So I will just give her to a man. What can she say about it? Hallelujah. There's an old lady living by her. She is his elder sister. So she put it. If Sonny will get there, he will stand outside and say, he will say, yeah, you know, at the end, okay. My mother was coming to church. I keep telling you, you have to come to church. The woman will be looking like that. This Sunday we went there some weeks ago. And we started talking with the woman. Oh, and he said, let's go to church. And I turned to the old woman. I said, yeah, let's go. As if she has been waiting for me all this time to say, let us go. I said, what else? Let us go to the Google. And she turned around, she went into the room, and we went to the church. I thought that she went into the room to get away from me. We were having our service. She has problems with her legs. She's very old. She must be arthritic. We saw her coming with her walking stick down the road and came into the church. Since then, she had come regularly. Hallelujah. Now, talking about the devil not wanting you to ever go to heaven. Last Sunday, I ministered at our church in town. Others went to the village. When they came back, they gave me a report. The woman did not come to church. What happened? They said they went to bring one man from one village who took her by force and washed her, who woke up, washed her with Islamic whatever water, and want her not to go to church. I said, don't worry. The woman is a Christian. She has given her heart. Let him wash her body. They're too stupid to know spiritual things. They try to be spiritual, but in their spirituality, they are still carnal. Are you following me? They let them wash her body. She's a vigilant. There are two of them in that village. One for years. The doctor had said, I must not see you in that place. Every Sunday, she's waiting for us to come to her house. As soon as we get there, she will begin to tell us stories of when she was in Ofa and she used to go to church. She will say, she's not African, she speaks out loud. The well in the village was dug sometime, 70 years ago, by some Catholics. She will say, everyone left. She says, leave that alone. They drink from that well, and it is the well of the Christians. And they use water from that well to do their ablution.
Yeah.
They leave them alone. Let them deceive themselves. Praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord is good. So the devil doesn't want to see you sin, but Jesus came so that you may be saved. But as many as believe in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. That is final deliverance. When you get away from the devil's camp and you come to Jesus and you accept Jesus and you maintain your faith until you enter into glory, that is your total deliverance. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So we know why Jesus came now, is to let us have eternal life. But what were the means? What were the means that he has employed so that we may come to him, believe in him, and be delivered? But Moses went to Egypt. You remember? God has sent me, the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, the third which God. He had even told God before he left me, if I tell them that you sent me, they will ask me for your name. They will ask for a sign. Are you following me now? So God told him, do this work. He did. God said, if they don't believe the first sign, then put your hand under it or bring it out on the cross. If they don't believe the first sign, they will believe the second. Hallelujah. So you see the importance of signs in convincing people, even for their own deliverance. You go to the police and you tell them, oh, this medicine is very good for this ailment. They will ask you, have you ever suffered from that ailment before? Before you tell me how good the medicine is. Hallelujah. So, Moses had to show signs to the children of Israel, and he had to show signs and wonders to Egypt. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus had to show us signs. Hallelujah. He had to show us wonders. He had to show us miracles. He himself said, except you see miracles, you will not believe. Are you following me? Except you see miracles, you will not believe. When the children of Israel saw miracles in Egypt, they followed Moses. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, let us try to draw lines between signs, wonders, and miracles. But let us understand there are overlaps between any two of them. Hallelujah. Overlaps meaning that something that you call a miracle can also be a wonder. Amen.
Amen.
Something that you call a sign, you may also see as a miracle. Praise the Lord. But you can have a sign which by itself is not a miracle, but that can be overlapped. Hallelujah. So, let's start from the easier one. People begin to give you examples of miracles in the ministry of Jesus. There are lots of them. I want anybody just tell us one. Yes, ma'am. You don't have to give us the book, the chapter, the number, just tell us the miracle.
The turning of water into wine.
The turning of water into wine. Hallelujah. Moses turned water to blood. Jesus turned water to wine. Something different. Something better. Hallelujah. Jesus to come. You have to call Jesus. There are lots and lots of miracles. Sometimes there's another miracle. The miracles of Jesus. I can see all hands. I can see all hands up.
The opening
of the eyes of the blind. More than once. Praise the Lord. The opening of blind eyes. More than once. But let us do some fine tuning on one of them. If you want Bartimaeus, somebody tell me why you want to focus on Bartimaeus. Why?
Because he cried unto him.
He cried unto him.
Have mercy on me.
Why? He threw away his garment. Why? Don't disturb me. When people said shut up, he would not shut up. This lady that didn't come last Sunday, the other old ladies who have been coming, whom the Lord had touched. Yeah, some of you have seen the video. The one that couldn't walk, the first time that went to the village, and they took up to her. And we ministered to her, and she got up. That was 8 years ago. She has been walking since then, and has been in church since then. The other one who was blind, was led by, blind from cataract, was led by one boy. Everywhere, she started to come. Then we had some medical missionaries come, and we arranged for her to meet them, and they did cataract surgeries for her. Now she sees clearly with two eyes. That has been for years. Both have been fine Christians in the village. So, when this other lady, this recent one, who have started to work a lot better with her legs now, because we have ministered to her, when she didn't come, the other two ladies said, Oluba, Obebadi, Obatakubomu, Chitabeli, the other two ladies. They said, well, if one man came to tell her to stop going to church, she should know that she had every right to tell the man to get lost. Hallelujah. Amen. They told Bartimaeus, shut your mouth. They'll go, shut your mouth, kill you. Have mercy on me. I know what I want. Praise the Lord. But I was actually going to focus on the man born blind. The man that was born blind. Jesus had to do things, to do signs and wonders. He had to do things that were impossible. Don't you remember? We have never seen it like this in Israel. The process was very simple, but what really took me there was the fact that when the elders came and started to trouble the man, tell us, is this true that you were blind? Yes, I was blind. Who with that? This man said, you people said. You people said. saying, you are the spiritual leaders of the land. Are you not the people who have been telling us that God does not hear sinners? Are you not the ones who have told us from time to time, God does not hear sinners? Hear this man what I said. Why did God hear him? Have you ever heard, since the world began, that anybody born blind ever received his sight? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you see? Look, if we just meditate on things that have been said in the Bible, it was the depth of the awesomeness of God's word. I never knew that anybody congenitally blind, born blind, had never received his sight. A doctor came to the church, invited the doctor to talk to us on health, what having to do with generally the care of the eyes and so on and so forth. And then I raised this question. I said, there's something in the Bible. I said, it's possible the fact has now changed because God is revealing more and more to us with time, even as human beings. I said, do you know of any case of anybody congenitally blind who has received his sight? His answer was that there are some congenital problems of the eyes which can now be detected very early and treated very early and will prevent blindness. Are you following me? So, but if the person had grown up, it must be done as a baby. Once the person had grown up and that blindness had been there, he said it would be irreversible. Now, the man in the Bible was not a baby. God will remove every doubt when his parents said, why are you quitting us? Look at him, he's a man, ask him now. Praise the Lord. So, let there be no medical argument. Yes, it can be done for a baby, but this one, the Bible said, he is a man. He is of age. Ask him. Glory to God. There had to be signs and wonders. Glory to God. Some other miracles. Yes.
By the pool.
At Bethesda. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. Sorry, just a minute. There are these philosophers or spiritualists who say if somebody dies before he goes cold, you can call his soul back. Are you with me? We're talking about signs and wonders and miracles. Jesus made sure that not only did Lazarus go cold, he had started to decay. Are you with me? So that when God speaks, let the whole world be silent. If I remember, shut your mouth. So if anybody has ever heard of anyone coming before Jesus who raised up a decaying corpse, let him speak. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, the feeding of thousands with almost nothing. Almost nothing. That would be a miracle. It would be a wonder. Isn't it? It's a wonder. A wonder. How can you feed thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread, 2 small fishes? That's a wonder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. The demonet of Gadara wide. Wide. Nobody could pass that place. In my deliverance book, I said, if that kind of man, if you had taken him to a psychiatric hospital, he would have been there all the days of his life. In many psychiatric hospitals abroad, you check him and you don't graduate. because they are making money for you. It has been known that in some psychiatric hospitals, they really make sure that some people will not graduate because of money. You will be there. Even if your case was genuine, you will be there. They have to turn you to a vegetable. You will sit down like that, a vegetable. Eh? All of your muscles that were shooting like you will make sure that the muscles will go flabby. You can hardly lift them up. Are you following me now? So this man Jesus comes and tell the devil, you get out of him. What is your name? Imagine human beings hearing Jesus asking devils, what is your name? Hallelujah. And they can hear the devil talking back. My name is Legion. Wonders. My name is Legion. Because we are many, are for me. Don't cast me out the room. There are others with me. Praise the Lord. Come out of here. Please, please, please. Unclean spirits are begging. Are you with me? Don't send us out of the land. Let us go into this land. Okay, go there. And they saw 2,000 pigs begin to run crazy into the waters. And the people themselves fled. They ran into the sea. I beg you, when I come see trouble. Are you with me? What sort of thing is this? Wonders. When the people in the city came, Bible said, they found the man sitting in his right mind and clothed. Glory to God. Glory to God. The King James Bible says garnished. To garnish is to decorate everyone. Make look good. Are you with me now? So, every physical deliverance that Jesus did has something spiritual about it, right? It is not like they sent you to somebody to be walking to pay the debt that your mother owed, and then at Jubilee they released you. Praise the Lord. We begin to see deliverance in a dimension that was never known. And in all cases, it was to turn the hearts of the people to God, the spiritual, so that they will believe in Jesus and will be delivered forever and ever. Not anticipating another jubilee, but that they have entered into this jubilee forever and ever. I tell people, I am already existing in Italy. I'm in eternity already. Hallelujah. The rest of you can look at me, but I'm in eternity already. And there.
I'm also there.
Eternity is for people who will never die. I will never die. Once I was dead, now I live, and I cannot die anymore. The only thing that is going to happen is that someday, I will just switch from one level to another. It's just a switch. Are you with me? I will just pass from there into another one. I will not die. This body will return to dust, but me, there is no death. When I go, if anybody wants to cry, let them cry. But I am very sure that when I come out of this body, I will be jubilated. Are you with me now? I will be jubilated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say me too, me too. I don't blame you. You see? There have been cases of people who died briefly and then woke up again. Sometimes resuscitated in a hospital. And they get their report. The report will be different, like I said of people. Heaven is a very vast kingdom. If somebody dies here, they go to one part. Somebody dies here, they go to another part. You will see different things. Hallelujah. If somebody comes into Nigeria for the first time, if he lands in Lagos, he will see something. If he comes to Ladabu, one of our villages, he will see something else. Praise the Lord. Heaven is a vast state. But someone with their reports, whether you are a Christian, whether you are not a Christian, the moment you come out, the first thing, you feel good. You feel good because it is like a bird released from a cage. Are you following me? Wow! So this world can be so big. The bird is rejoicing. Boom, 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 just flying around. But the next moment, that bird doesn't know what happens. Maybe somebody with a gun will just go, pow! Then the bird goes down. Hallelujah. And that is what I've said in the cage. So, as they come out, the first thing is a good feeling, and out of this cage. Very soon, one begins to see fire. I'm talking about people who died briefly and returned. They will report they saw themselves going into fire. Others will report they saw themselves met by a being who spoke to them. One lady said she was addressed as the daughter of the Most High. And the being spoke to her and angel and said, it is not your time yet. You have to go back. And she didn't want to go back. When you begin to think of those who have departed and you begin to pity them, I pity you. I pity you because they will not want to return there for anything. No matter how much your wife loves you, no matter how much your husband loves you, who departed, they will not want to return here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But thank God, if you are in Christ, you end up in eternity with Christ Jesus. And that is where I am going when I leave. Mama Maria was telling me, my time is not up. I didn't say that my time is up. I said that I know that someday I have to go. And if you don't know it, you deceive yourself. Everybody has to go someday. It's the reality of our existence here. In any case, if God gave me a choice, if God gave me a choice to go someday or stay here permanently, I would ask him, what will I be doing here permanently? Who wants to inherit this earth? The meek shall inherit the earth. It is not this one. It is the new earth. This one is not good for inheritance. Do you know why? Do you know why? Why? It is defiled every day. Somebody has said God has caused it. Yes. Somebody, but two people have said Satan is ready in here. The end of this earth is what? What? What kind of destruction?
Fire.
Fire. Now, do you want to inherit something that you know? You know that fire will come to consume it. Do you want to inherit that? God forbid, not me. I don't want this one. Hallelujah. Amen. The only reason that I have to be here is because I have to work for my God. The Apostle Paul said, I am in a fix. I am confused. I don't know whether to go or whether to stay. He said, but I have to stay because my staying is profitable for you. I am doing God's work. So my being here now is profitable for you. Otherwise, I prefer to just go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But look at me.
You wouldn't mind this question. A 20-year-old boy of mine, few years ago, asked me, pondering over it, I don't know. He said that there will be in the spirit. And God says he's going to prepare a place for us. Mansions, buildings, that if you are a spirit, how can you be sleeping or waking up in a mansion? What do you need mansions for?
Okay.
So I was saying, I've been wondering over it, so I think this is the right time to ask.
It is okay. Let's talk about it. Sure, that was a good question. See, I said, was it last week? I said, listen, if you ask questions, you get answers. When I'm reading my Bible or studying my Bible, I have to ask the Holy Spirit questions. I have to, because he's my teacher. I recognize him as such. I know that he has the answer. So I have to ask him questions. Some of them he will answer immediately. Some of them he will be quiet. Someday, at the right place, he will now tell me. Hallelujah. I will come to your question. But let me give you this example. Most many of the Apostle Paul was explaining to the children of Israel, showing them why they must be steadfast in the Lord, and using the Old Covenant as an example. I said, remember now, remember, we'll come to that again. Remember, these people were delivered from Egypt. They crossed the cloud and the Red Sea and were baptized unto Moses. Just like we are being baptized now unto Jesus. And they were heading for a land of promise which they never entered. Are you following me? He said these were examples to us. In other words, he said they drank of Jesus because they drank of the rock and Jesus is the rock. Do you follow me now? See, we should be careful. See them. Even though they were baptized, they have fellowship with God, and so on and so forth, because they were not steadfast in their belief. They did not enter the land of promise. So tell the one sitting to your right, be careful.
Be careful.
Turn to the left, be careful.
Be careful.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then ask the Holy Spirit, baptism unto Moses. What is baptism unto Moses? No answer. And then I went to Ghana to do my sabbatical at Cape Coast. University of Cape Coast sits right on the highway that runs along the coast of West Africa all the way to Cote d'Ivoire and so on and so forth. Across, you just cross the highway in front of the university and you are at the beach of the Atlantic. Praise the Lord. And I used to drive to Elmina, Sister Mary's hometown, to go and buy fish. And one day I was coming. It's not the first time I have observed it. I don't know. Some of you who have visited beaches, there are times when it's windy, and if you are standing by the beach, you can feel some water dropping on you. Are you with me now? Okay. Sometimes you can see a cloud over the sea. Okay. I was coming from Elmina. And looking at the beach in front, I could see a cloud over the sea. And the cloud spread to the highway. And as I was driving, I saw droplets of water as I was passing through the cloud. Droplets of water on my windscreen. Then the Holy Spirit said, now, you were asking about baptism unto Moses. This is what it was like. That when God sent a strong wind to push the Red Sea back, and the people were passing, he was explaining. The wind, the blasting the water, caused water droplets to float in the air. And you know that clouds are made of water droplets. So when they were passing, they did not get soaked, but they felt sprinkles on their body. That was pseudo-baptism. False baptism. It was baptism unto Moses. Wow. Give Jesus a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. So thank you, sir, for asking the question. Yes. What is spirit is spirit. What is flesh is flesh. A house. the spirit world, like a house in the world of the physical. Are you with me? If an angel comes here now, if you try to hold him, you cannot hold him. Because he is purely spirit material, and you are your body, flesh.
Your body will pass through him like a beam of light. You bring it down my hand, it will just split and pass through.
Are you following me now? Your hand will just pass through the angel. But if an angel wants to hold an angel, one angel is solid to another. They are made of the same material. Are you with me now?
Yes,
so a house in the spirit world is a house for spirits. Praise the Lord. It is not like this. It's a real house. As many as they are sleeping, there is no boredom in the spirit. Boredom is of the flesh. When you sleep, it is not for your spirit to rest, it is for your flesh to rest. Are you following me? So in the spirit world, there is no boredom, there is no, I am tired. No. Tiredness is of the flesh. So there are activities, and I can't describe all because we haven't been really there. But there are lots of things to do to enjoy the spirit world. We will not be tired. Some of you have read Rick Warren's book, The Purpose Driven Life. The Purpose Driven Life. And just many people have read it. Very good book. I was in the U.S. when we used it in the church, ACF, African Christian Fellowship. There were just a few places where I could pick something out, which perhaps should not have been said that way. But no big deal. You read my own book, you may find something. He talked about variety is good. God loves variety. So, sing this one now, sing this one next, another one, and so on and so forth. Beautiful. Nothing wrong. Are we? Fellowship. There's nothing wrong. But I have to tell the fellowship. I said, here, singing the variety is not particularly what moves God. It helps us not to feel bored. I hope you follow me now. If you go to the fellowship, you are there, and it is the same. Unless you understand singing deep into the spirit, then repeating it helps you. But many people don't get it. They will soon be bored. As for God, it doesn't matter. And I give them examples. In the book of Revelation, the beings that surround the throne of God, they are singing one sentence only. Day and night, forever and ever. And God has not said, Are you with me?
Yes.
The reality of heaven, the reality of the spirit world, God is not God. Those who are singing it are not God. It is for us because of the flesh. Do you realize that no matter how beautiful your voice is, when you are singing, people may admire it, but if your heart is foul, your sweet voice does not reach God. Do you know that? No matter how your voice is unacceptable to human ears, if you are singing with a pure heart, that voice is rising to the throne of God. Do you know that? So again, what is spirit? Is spirit is spirit. And what is flesh? Is flesh. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is 15 minutes to 11. Let us take other questions on these questions now. So that by 11 we start. There on 11. Any questions? Any comments?